this podcast. You know, it's always presented by Elite Archery. Love our elites. Big time, of course, this episode. Huntworth, we're dressed up in Huntworth right now. What's kind of cool is everything, all of our partners apply to what we actually do. So it's like makes perfect sense. We're using our elites in Africa. Big time. We're not carrying big time to Africa, but we're decked out in Huntworth. We're actually going to have our Scent Crusher bags over there. They told us that the winds have been swirling pretty bad, and that's the number one factor probably in the way we're hunting is going to be the wind. So we're going to be using Scent Crusher to our advantage. I imagine we're going to be sweating a lot and coming in and out to the blind. So we'll see. You know, I don't know how that's going to pan out, but Old Barn Taxidermy, of course, is going to be doing our taxidermy. Loophole Optics, I mean, everything Loophole is going to be out. Rangefinders, binos are going to be attached to us at all times for this. Trophy line. You know, I thought it'd be kind of cool to kill African game out of a saddle, but it's just not going to work over there like we thought. I'm sure someone will do it one of these days, but it'd be kind of neat, wouldn't it? And then Spy Point, man, I have three new Spy Point Flex cameras out right now, and they are super easy to set up, and they're performing flawlessly. What's the cool thing about it, and I know it's complaints with other cameras in the past and Spy Points in the past, is like when you have to do the updates, you got to go on, put it on the SD card, make sure you do it right, format it, all that crap. You put the SD card in, there's a format button right when you power the camera on. You scan the QR code, it adds it to your Spy Point app, and then it'll be like, oh, update firmware. If it needs an update right away, you hit update firmware, wait 10, 15 minutes. It does it over the air. You don't got to do anything online. Does it automatically. Then there's a test photo button you hit, sends a photo to your phone. You're ready to rock, and you set it up. And it's got dual SIM cards in it, so it connects to the best signal in your area. It's the easiest cell cam I've ever set up. I've been running it for a few weeks at this point. It's great, honestly. Give it a try. I think for a lot of you guys that are Spy Point haters, listen, I get it. Spy Point's changing things, though. Their customer service is on par now. This camera is changing the way people think about Spy Point. I'm telling you. I've used a lot of Spy Point cameras in the past, but I'm also like fairly good with technology. I know how to do the updates, and I know when it needs something done. So I've never had issues. Most people overlook these little things that add up to a camera not working. The Flex is the shit. Try it out. I'm telling you. I wouldn't say it was the shit if it wasn't the shit. You wouldn't hear me talk about it. I'd skirt around it, or I'd be honest and be like, yeah, it needs some improvement. It's good. I promise. Had to just say that, you know. Camo Fire, man, deals all the time. If you're planning on a hunting trip, you can get on Camo Fire, find a good deal for something you need. Or if you know you have a hunting trip 2 years out and you're building points, you can check Camo Fire for daily deals and then slowly build up what you need from sleeping pads to boots to whatever it is. That's the benefit to it. You can save yourself some coin. Novix tree stands. I don't know if the code's still active. It was good for 200 uses. I think I was getting some notifications that the code wasn't working. So that means it's been used up, and it's done, you know, and I think they're done with sales for the year too. So we gave the fair warning at Novix. Hopefully you guys grabbed an Echo or a Hilo. We're rocking both. The Hilo I keep on me, ready to go, ready to be deployed on a game plan at any time. Made here, Peoria, Illinois, an hour from the studio, not even. So check them out at Novix. Thermoseat, right now, you know, be getting your seat pad, tree stand seats, replacement seats, D-wedges. I mean, if you're coyote hunting, if you're camping, they got it all. Code WCTS. Victory Arrows, I'm rocking Rip TKOs, 100 grain broadheads for this hunt, and I'm rocking Lighted Knocks on my Victory setup. Everyone's rocking Victory Arrows on this African hunt. So putting them to work, I hope. Grizzly box blinds. Cool thing about Grizzly, I just set my box blind up. I made my own. It's my first box blind ever. I made my own stand. I went with a 10-foot. So we did, it comes with like, you can order the T-post brackets, or not T-post, my bad, 4x4 brackets for the bottom of the blind. We put 10-foot 4x4s on each, and I got 12-foot 2x4s and just did X patterns, and I got 2x6s for my stairs, ran a big ag anchor down the center and some ag anchors on the corner with a heavy-duty like toe strap, and I got the blackout shades on mine, and it is money. Like, I cannot wait to hunt out of it. I'm so excited. I never thought I'd be into a box blind, but now that I finally have one, I'm like, okay, this is going to change things. I can bring the wife with me comfortably, hopefully film a little more hunts. It's going to open up a lot of opportunity. We're super stoked. And we got a podcast coming with Grizzly in studio, so we'll break down that a little more. But check them out if you're in the market or you've been hem-hawing, getting a blind, but just haven't done it yet. I highly suggest checking out Grizzly for that. Slick Trick Broadheads, we're rocking that in Africa. We'll be rocking some pull back and let go gear. Yeah, I kind of went through these quick, but I'm super thankful for all our partners, and we're super thankful for all of you for supporting us and our partners and being with us while we chase our dreams. So shout out to you guys. You guys are the real heroes of what we do, and hope you enjoy this. Hope you learn a little bit about food plots. Hopefully you can get some main event. Keep us up to date. Are you doing fall plots? What if you're not doing main event or buck brunch, what are you planting and why? And what else have you done to your food plot? I'm becoming more of a food plot nerd as I get older. It's kind of like the dad and his fresh cut grass, you know, but also way cooler. Thanks for being here. Hope you enjoy this episode, guys.
I'm Chase Ralston with Rubline Marketing.
This is Jeff Lindsay.
This is Michael Fitz.
Hey, everybody. It's John Dudley from Knock On TV.
Hey, guys. This is Jared Scheffler from Whitetail Adrenaline.
Hi, I'm Taylor Drury from Drury Outdoors.
Hey, this is Nick Munt from Bow Collector.
Hey, this is Melissa Bachman.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
You're listening to the Working Class Bow Hunter. That's right. This is a podcast for Billy Joe Lunchbucket, the working man, just like me and you. My name's Travis T. Bone Turner from The Bone Collector. Thank you for tuning in.
Nobody pushes the envelope like Working Class Bow Hunter.
It's really, really not that good.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast. We are here. It is a mystery episode. I don't know what number it is. I need to quit doing that.
Yeah, because we never know what number it is till it launches.
I'm used to knowing what episode number it is. Cause, like, it doesn't seem like it, I guess, if you're a recent listener, but for 4 years, 5 years, we knew every time what episode number it was. Mm-hmm. But now we're busy, so we have to pre-record.
I think we've been saying that for 4 years. What episode is this?
That's probably true. So we're almost 8 years in, so that makes sense. About half the time, we have
no freaking idea what's going on.
All that matters is we're here and we're ready to have a good time.
That's right.
Cussing or not, we're here to have a good time.
Oops.
Kurt Geyer here.
Eric Common.
Doug Schmidt.
Austin Chandler.
And we have two special guests in studio. First of all, thank you guys for coming in studio. Mm-hmm.
Thanks for having us.
Yep. Go ahead and introduce yourself so people can learn your guys' beautiful voices.
I am Mark Mowdy.
My name is Shannon Thomas.
What the hell do you guys do and why are you here?
We are Worrywarts. And you know the old thing called Murphy's Law? They actually mispronounce it. It's Mowdy's Law. Mm-hmm, so, you know, what can go wrong will.
Makes sense.
So I've lived in that realm my whole life. So I've, you know, ever since I started hunting, I've always had this fear that my house was going to burn and I was going to lose all my heads and they're irreplaceable and all that stuff. So that obsession finally took me to the point where I was willing to do something about it. And I started researching and, you know, just being a kind of a nerdy guy, I put the fact that I thought that scanning could be done, 3D scanning of antlers could be done, but mm-hmm. at that point, what do you do with it? Mm-hmm. You know, a taxidermist can't use a scan. Mm-hmm. Nobody can really use it. And then I had a friend say, well, I bet they could 3D print it. And, you know, at that point, we kind of put two and two together and started researching and you know, it took months of R&D and mm-hmm. trial and error, but we've come to a point where we can 3D scan antlers and horns and make exact replicas via, you know, CNC and 3D printing and that sort of thing.
And, incredible.
Yeah. And that's so,
how long, like when was this? When did you think, like, are we talking 10 years ago? Are we talking last year? Like,
no, I've always had the worry, you know, mm-hmm. but it didn't really, the more trophies I got and the more hunting I did, the more it compounded, obviously.
Of course.
Yeah. And I went to Africa in last year, mm-hmm. 2021, had a great time. And, you know, just because of the whole COVID thing and everything, we had a 26-hour flight back and a lot of time to reflect and everything. And you know, I'm just a working class guy, mm-hmm. and I really didn't have the money to be going over there, but I did it anyway. And
that's what life's about, man.
Yeah, yeah. And
not having the money and doing cool shit.
Do it anyway.
And, honestly, I mean, to a point.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you only live once.
Figure it out after.
Yep.
If you want to do it, you got to do it.
That's right. 100%.
So, you know, gave 26 hours of time just sitting on a plane, doing nothing really to
think
about this. And the buddy that actually co-owns the company with me was with me on that trip.
Mm-hmm.
And him and I bouncing ideas off each other. And that's how where it started. That's where it all originated from, coming back from Africa.
No kidding. So fairly recent.
Yeah. Yep.
So we met you guys at the Illinois Deer Classic. I almost said Iowa Deer Classic, just out of like habit. And we do like a lot of scouting, I guess, for podcasts, walking around. And we saw you guys and got to bullshit with you a little bit. And I'm like, what is this? And you guys kind of broke it down. I'm like, we have to do a podcast on this. And that's kind of how you guys are here. But is this the time to probably bring up, Austin, that you became a customer pretty quick?
Yeah. Well, we, like Kurt said, we were walking around and looking and shook hands with you guys and got to talk to you. And I could see the immediate value in this. So I've been through two fires. I've had two house fires. Actually had them both in the same year. And I've always been terrified of something happening to my collection. You know, once you lose it, there's nothing you can do. It's just gone. I mean, you have pictures and that's it. So when we got talking with these guys, it's an economical way to scan everything that you have and at least have the ability to recreate that if something catastrophic does happen.
Mm-hmm.
So it's financially, it's very reasonable, and you get to log your entire, like I've got, how many heads do you guys do for me? 25, 30 heads.
Yeah.
My elk, my moose, I mean, all that stuff. These guys scanned all that in how many hours? 5 or 6 hours?
Yep. Yeah, it was about that.
So pretty quick, considering.
5.5 is what it took us.
So is that you guys like busting your tail to get it done in 5 hours, or is it just kind of like to me that seems fast.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of funny because people, you know, he said it's economical, and it really is overall, but if you look at the amount of time we're there, and then people say, oh my God, well, I just gave them this much, and they were only here 5 hours. That's a lot per hour, but that's not where all the work happens. The actual scanning of the antlers and stuff is pretty quick at the residence, but then we have to go home and or go back to the shop and do some digital cleanup. There's a lot of background noise we got to remove, and, you know, 90% of the scans we do are on a shoulder mount, you know, mm-hmm. so you don't need the shoulder mount for the replica portion, you know.
Yeah, that's just for the antlers.
Right. So we've got to do some work to put, you know, a digital skull plate in there and get rid of the hide and all that stuff. So there's a lot more behind the scenes work that people don't see that goes into it. But the actual scanning at, you know, someone's home is pretty quick.
So like, it's just saying that, like, say Austin called you, what's the whole breakdown of the process you guys have to do, like from start to beginning?
We like to know what we're getting into as far as like how high is it readily available for us to get to.
Mm-hmm.
Can we get to it easy? Can we put hanging back up easy? And we've had scaffolding, we've had scissor lifts in places trying to get stuff down.
No kidding.
So we kind of make sure what we're getting into, and it's mainly we bring our stand and our equipment in, and it's pretty seamless.
Yeah, we've got to have a little information because, number one, it's kind of based off species and Boone and Crockett score on pricing.
Mm-hmm.
And then second is...
Because more volume?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And and then second is, like Shannon said, you know, the location. Are they 40 foot in the air above your fireplace? How can we get to them and all that stuff? So all that stuff we'll work out front with you, and then we'll give you a custom quote. And it's pretty simple. We'll come to you with our equipment and do it right there. And we'll work around your schedule.
Yeah.
So we travel. That scanner's light.
Austin trusted you guys in his house when he was farming.
Yeah, I was planting, so I just handed him the key. Said, well, nice to meet you guys. I'll give you the keys to the house and see you in about 6 or 7 hours.
Sure. We have that a lot, honestly. So yep.
When did this debut? Like, when were you guys, like, when did you bring it to the public? Like, hey, we're a company. This is a service we're providing. You know what I mean?
I'll say January 1st of this year is when we actually started doing business for customers. We mm-hmm. had done a lot of work prototyping and stuff before that, ever since we got, you know, back from Africa. Mm-hmm. But it was just available to the customer, you know, first of this year.
Oh, so super recent.
We had gotten out November, December, kind of laying groundwork to show on taxidermists what we had and what we could do. And they was all bring it back to us when you're ready to scan.
Ready
so
to
we
go.
Went in some demos and they all like it.
So did you guys do a lot of shows before the Illinois show, or was that one of the first ones you did? Or
we have
just curious because that's where we discovered you guys was right. The Illinois show.
No, we were at the Iowa Classic.
You were? How the fuck did we miss you guys?
Yeah. Shannon was there. I was actually in one in Oklahoma City that time. We've been to Houston, Dallas Fire Club.
I think you guys are getting after it.
Well, we didn't actually have a booth at Dallas Fire Club. We just kind of went and checked it out and talked to some people there. But
yeah,
kind of see how the
Houston,
setup
was, we did have a booth.
Right, right.
And the shows have really been our lifeline. They've been good.
Yeah. People are there. People that are there to spend money or would actually use a service like this.
Right.
I think it helps also like holding the antlers.
Yeah. So here on the studio table, let's talk about this first before we go any further. And I don't know. Yeah, it's a replica. I don't know what you call it. You break it down for us here on the table. Like, what do we got sitting in front of us?
Yeah, so this one in the middle here is the original. And they're nothing fancy. We just travel around with, you know, smaller racks. So we beat them up pretty hard. So,
yeah, just to show them off, show what you can do.
Yeah, so, you know, we've got 130-inch deer here. This is the original, and there's the replica of it. And, you know, it's I think it's pretty close in
it's
my estimation.
Damn, it's pretty damn good.
I think if somebody got that back after a fire, and they'd be happy to have it, you know?
For sure.
Yeah.
And so what you guys did for me, basically, you scanned everything and you put it on like a jump drive or USB drive. So I've got 3 or 4 copies of that. But what we're looking at here, you guys actually have the capability to go in and make an actual replica for the customer. So
absolutely.
That's pretty badass.
We've hired painters and artists, and we do our own painting and replicas in-house. We don't sub any of that out. So we are, you know, when we first set out to do this, our goal was to do about 90% scanning, 10% replicas. And it's kind of flopped. We're doing about 90% replicas, 10% scans.
Wow.
We've had a lot of success with outfitters from the fact of, you know, say an outfitter takes a client on a hunt and they kill a really good animal. And that outfitter would like to advertise with that animal, but they don't want the client to have to give up, you know, their
original.
Yeah, their original mm-hmm. and send it to somebody to make a traditional replica where they're going to have it 6 months or longer. Mm-hmm. Where we come in, we just... The outfitter and the person, the client, makes an appointment with us. We go to the animal, scan it in, they're done. The client never has to leave possession of the animal. And then we start making
I need to make Kaler do that for me. Shot that big 8-pointer on me. Yeah, Kaler, sure. I'm going to need you to make a replica of that for
and
me.
Pay, for
not, and yeah. pay for
you're
it.
And pay for it.
You know, you're not cutting up the original form and all that stuff.
Exactly.
You know, and the
unmounting
original,
it.
Yep. The original hide and unmounting it and doing all that stuff.
You'd be surprised a lot of the outfitters that will go borrow the original animal from the guys come show season and drag them to shows and give them back, and they get tore up and all that.
Yeah, and that's scary for the hunter.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's do this for... Anyone that might have a question, maybe there's something we're not covering. Let's just kind of break this down a little more simplistic to the process.
Okay.
I killed this buck this year. I want to get it scanned and a replica made. I call up Classic Rack. Fellas, it's your buddy Kurt. I need to get a scan and a replica done. What happens from there?
We can hook you up.
There it is. You heard it here. Boom. Thanks for being here. Working class bow hunter.
That's the end of the episode. Thanks for coming.
Yeah.
We'd make a schedule with you or make an appointment. We'd come to you, charge you for the original scan, mm-hmm. covers our travel to get up to you, scan the antler in. And once we did that, we don't ever take possession of your animal. When we scan it on site.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we need. We take it back, clean it up, get your replica made, and then we take half the scan off for cost of the replica.
Very cool.
Awesome.
So how is the replica done in most cases?
We manufacture them in-house. We have our own equipment and everything. So we manufacture them in-house, and then it's several processes. I mean, from when they come out of the machine to being cured and everything else, and then the paint process and all that. But, you know, typically it's about a 3-month window to get that back, which is considerably better than some of the traditional.
Pretty damn
methods.
Good, yeah. In my opinion.
Yeah. A lot of your traditional guys right now are they're out, you know, 12 to 18 months.
Yeah.
If not a little longer.
Yeah. And then that's it. And then, you know,
is it all custom quoted, like kind of what you mentioned earlier, per animal, like size? And
no, yeah. we've got rate sheets on, it's kind of one-off stuff. If you're at a show and you have, you know, at the Iowa Classic or whatever, and you brought your head in to have it scored, we got a rate sheet there and we'll give show discounts or whatever. And we'll get there. If you want us to drive to Pennsylvania, just scan in one,
it's going to be a little more.
It's going to be a little more with the fuel, or if you want to, you know, if we've got, say we're going to the Great Outdoor Show in Harris, you know, in February.
Where are you guys based out of?
We're in Joplin, Missouri.
Okay.
Where we're out of, yeah.
Probably helps out, too, if you're going to scan 10 or 15 or 20 animals, you probably get a pretty good rate.
Absolutely.
We get a bulk discount on all that.
Yep.
So.
Yeah.
Is there anywhere you guys won't go?
Mexico.
Yeah,
fair.
We're trying to get back over to Africa and in fact one of my co-owners he just got back from over there doing a lot of groundwork over there for some of our stuff, so
awesome.
Things are looking good over there.
Let me ask you this, and maybe there's shit you can't say and just tell me to shut my mouth, but like we're going to Africa, right?
Mm-hmm.
And say we kill stuff over there, and you always hear like the night about getting your stuff back. Mm-hmm. I know you just recently went. We can get into that here in a little bit. Say there's going to be a delay. Is there any way to like have something done while we're there? And then if we can't get it back, that you guys could scan it and have it done. Well, you know what I mean?
That's what we're working on.
Okay.
We're working on getting our equipment stuff over there for that very specific reason.
Okay.
You know, right now it's not. Technology is not over there to be able to make it happen, but that's exactly what we're working on.
Very cool. Mm. Yeah, that makes a ton of sense.
Yeah.
There'd be a huge
great
market.
Idea.
Market.
Yep, and it is a pain in the butt. I know from experience. It's been over a year, and I still don't have my stuff. So,
could be too. I mean, then in theory, you wouldn't have to bring back the original if you didn't want to.
Right.
You could have a replica made.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you wanted to do a European, it would definitely be doable. You're still going to have to get the cape back or buy a cape
for sure
out of Texas or something, you know.
Right.
You know, but
yeah. Joe Exotic's out of jail and just his stock went up.
Right. Yeah.
He got out of Tigers. He's in a Kudu now.
Yeah.
So,
But no, that's all the things we're working on. But that exact reason, like if you were happy with a Euro and wanted to not have the expense of flying it all back, we could make it over here for you.
Right.
For
sure. That's awesome.
I feel like you guys have a perfect business model. Is in like kind of the sky's the limit with what you guys do. Like you guys can branch in a lot of different directions with this.
Yes. We've done some scanning of like sculptures and statues for a sculptorist.
Really?
So it doesn't particularly pertain to the Hardhorns, which that's our MO.
Yeah.
But we can actually go different avenues and different directions as well.
Right. Outside of like the hunting industry or whatever, maybe.
Yep.
And is there like a size limit? Like, could you guys replicate like a giant moose?
Yeah.
Yes.
Honestly, we're working on,
we're working with a guy right now to get one done.
Awesome. We've already scanned it in. We're just,
it's 70 inches wide.
Yeah.
Holy moly.
Please.
Yeah.
So what do you do? Like a 3D printer, you have to have a massive machine to print something like that.
They're segmented and,
pieced together.
It's necessary evil at this point in time because the machines are so expensive.
Right.
But it takes us a lot of labor, a lot of man hours to seam everything together where you don't see it and everything. But when it's done,
you won't know.
You don't
turn out well.
Yeah. How, when I think 3D printing, now, Doug, you've spent a lot of time around 3D printers and you probably can't talk about what you've ever printed, but because of, you know, the FBI and your
not the,
the government cult that you help out with, you and Lee. But like when I think 3D printing, I think like anything I've ever seen 3D printed, I see like fibers in it, and that's all, like that rough finish. Is there other types of 3D printers that kind of like work around that fibrous?
Oh yeah,
texture.
Yeah,
there's a million of them out there these days.
Yeah, and I don't not want to give away too much.
Tell me to fuck off. It's an open platform. You can't.
What we use is it would blow your mind. If you know, it did me not coming from a background of 3D printing and stuff when I got the experts to help us get this going, you know, it really blew me away what's out there. So,
yeah, it's cool. Pretty crazy now.
What do you know, Doug?
Now you got resin, then you go from all the way from plastic all the way to titanium now.
That's wild.
Hey, remember, he's seen some shit.
It's tough out here.
It's Doug.
It's Doug.
I've seen it all.
Can we scan Doug's mustache and have a replica done of that to put in like a shadow box frame in case something happens to this mustache? We can break the glass. And
as thick as that is, we can probably get it together.
Doesn't like hair, but we can make it work.
We can do like a Miss Doubtfire and just make like a replica of your face.
Sell at the show.
I have an idea. Could you guys just actually
put
scan
them in bags with every order? It's a free mustache.
It'd be so gross.
Your wife will thank you later.
I didn't say it.
Can we actually get a scan of Doug from shoulder up, and then can we print a shoulder mount of Doug to put on the wall?
No, what we need to do is shoulder up and like the old
shoulder mounted
the old statues and like I think like the Colosseum,
you know,
like the old rock statue where it's just like their shoulders up, of just Doug.
We can do it.
Don't say that.
They were both so.
You guys want to spend the money?
How still do I have to? Like, I can't move at all.
You got
to
be pretty still. But
jeez.
So along that line, so this
duct tape you to the chair.
There you go.
Yeah. So along those lines, this is a pretty good deal. The folks we work through to procure all of our equipment and scanner and everything, we ask him what's the strangest thing you've ever scanned personally, and he said, well. Because we actually had a plastic surgeon reach out to us who was wanting to start a library of breast implants. So we scanned over 200 breasts in their natural habitat.
Okay, hold on.
Wait. You did scans. Personally or
no,
the
no,
company
this
did?
Is the this is the company we got our scanner through.
Oh, gotcha. Wow. So they're scanning tits or they're scanning the actual
on a woman
plant.
On a real live woman.
It's living, breathing.
It's live tits. Yep. I
mean, like a before and after?
A trophy room of...
Yes.
Tit jobs.
Yeah. It's a yeah, tit pretty collect. Much, yeah.
It's a tit portfolio.
Do you like this style or this? Like a, you
so
know,
what yeah, you're
it's
saying
like
a, is someone
it's like
has...
the glasses store where you go into you oh, like yeah. this frame or, you know, it's like.
Oh, really? I'm thinking like some doctor has like a trophy room, kind of like we got out here.
No,
but it's like
no. This is more like a show. And, you know, like it's a buffet. It's a
you like Jim Carrey when you walk in there?
I'm not going to lie. I always wondered how that worked, like low key, you know?
Well, I don't know if everybody works like that, but that's how this guy wanted to attack it. So, you know, they had
great
people from their company volunteering to go work. Like some guys, I need to be safe.
Everybody's like,
I need to be on site safety. This guy's quality control. This
guy, like 15 dudes.
They're rolling 15.
I got to make sure it goes flawlessly.
What's this guy doing? I don't know who that is.
He's HR to make sure nobody pervs out.
He's an intern.
He's actually the janitor at the shop. He just wanted to see what's going on.
Right. He started the day, first day.
You got Joe Dirt there.
So
That's a fun side story.
Yeah. So if they can do that, I imagine they can skin Doug. Yeah. So
pretty good deal.
I think we should do it.
We should have that done.
At least just the mustache.
A Doug replica.
Mm-hmm. Like a...
I'm okay with the mustache.
Yeah, we should do the mustache for sure, just in case.
Just in case.
In case you ever lose it, you know.
Yeah.
You got a big bet coming up.
Just wear that thing around until it grows back. It's like a holder to make sure it fits perfectly.
You know what we need to do? We need to have replicas done of your mustache and make chains out of them. So we all got Doug mustache chains.
I thought about, like, if you scan his face, get the glasses with the Doug's nose and the mustache attached to it.
Oh, there you go.
Creepy. What's the most difficult thing you've ever scanned?
You know, like Gimsbuck and stuff, where it comes, their horns are kind of shiny up towards the tips and stuff, and the shinier stuff kind of has a little bit of a problem with, and you know, it comes to such a fine point that it's, you know, almost nothing there.
Mm-hmm.
I have a little bit of issues with that, but not bad.
Yeah,
the scanning mule deer in velvet.
Any oh,
deer
really?
In velvet, because the light reflects off the scanner.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't like the hair. It doesn't like the feel.
Right,
because there's another process you got to do to when you go back, take to the shop, and it's tough. And the scan takes longer because you've got to go over and over and over, and you can't over scan anything, but trying to get the right angles and get it all scanned in where it's solid and it looks good.
Yeah.
So if you like, say you're scanning this deer right here, is it just like one pass over, or are you like in the antlers going every which
all
direction?
Angles.
And
yeah,
we're all over it. We'll even flip it over and get it from multiple. We could do multiple scans with it flipped in different directions and then merge them all together.
Like gotcha. We would scan it so. First. We would, like this one on a skull plate or any skull plate animal, we do is scan it on the front, flip it over, scan the back, and then you'll have like a hollow back, hollow front, and then you merge the two and makes one.
No kidding. Was that hard to learn, I imagine, or did you guys hire that out, like the computer side of things to like blend the scans and, like how you said, to kind of smooth out the scan from velvet or something shiny or a fine point or something like that?
Right. Well, so kind of disclosure, there's...
Also, tell me to fuck off again.
No. When we first started, we were looking at, you know, $5,000-$10,000 pieces of equipment, and we quickly realized this wasn't going to work. And I'll just say this: by the time it's all said and done, we're in over this thing on way more than you can buy a new Super Duty for. So, with that kind of money comes, you know, training, and they trained us thoroughly, and we spent weeks getting.
Training when you bought the equipment and stuff. Okay, that's a good deal.
Yep.
So they better, right? You buy all the stuff that don't have to.
Good luck.
Good luck, man. Thanks for your purchase.
Yeah. Good luck. Yeah. Let us know how it works. Uh-huh. Get out of here.
So going back a little bit, like say there is a moose 40 feet in the air. You guys can bring in a scissor lift and scan it right where it sits, right? You don't have to take it down.
It depends. Depends on what kind of, if there's something directly behind it that would keep us, obstruct us from being able to get in behind it. But most cases of moose, you can get in behind.
Right.
You know, there's been elk and stuff we haven't been able to. We had to bring them down. But it all depends on location and,
right.
Yeah. You know.
We did a red stag that was above a fireplace that we couldn't get to, so we had to bring it down.
How long did that take to scan?
Yeah.
If you guys go to your website, classicracks.co.com,
really?
You guys have a lot of great examples. So if someone's curious on this, just go to the website and you can get it'll answer a lot of your questions right here on the homepage. And something cool too that I learned, I was just at Old Barn Taxidermy last week, and you guys are doing some stuff with Old Barn, which is pretty exciting for their clients and us, because kind of we help Old Barn and Old Barn helps you now, and it's kind of come full circle a little bit. I don't know if you guys want to elaborate on what you guys are doing.
Yeah, Sam over there at Old Barn, a great group of people over there. We had met them at a taxidermy show in Nebraska, and we really try and cater to taxidermists, number one, because they're the first people that, you know, when you kill a good animal, they're the first ones to see it usually, you know, and they pass through them. So we really try and build a rapport with the taxidermist and get them to kind of help us sell to the customer and take care of them and all that. But Sam had a great idea that, you know, we had never even thought of that had to come to do with, they do a lot of sculpturing and stuff for the forms on the actual form that you put the hide on. Mm-hmm. And when you create a new form, you have to create variations of that same form, you know, left turn, right turn, semi-sneak, upright, all that stuff. And so they just have to keep remolding that with clay, and it's hard to keep symmetry and everything exactly the way it was. So we haven't officially worked everything out yet, but
is that top secret?
It's kind of
so. All right. So yeah. Probably skip past that.
Okay.
Top secret shit here.
Well, I mean, eventually it might not be. It'd be nice for other taxidermists to hear it to know what we can do, but true. I think if
we want Old Barn to tackle it first,
we want Old Barn to. Yeah, they came to us and
get on it.
Yeah,
that is a good group of people over there.
Yeah,
100%.
Okay. Moving.
That's
past
a good idea though to go through the taxidermist first because the antlers are there already. And
yeah,
we can go peasy. In and scan a bulk.
Oh yeah,
a bulk of antlers, and all we need is a spot the size of a bathroom.
Right. Yeah,
and we don't need a lot of room. And
that too, like say, like if someone shoots a 230 inch deer.
Let me do it. One sec. Moving past the top secret stuff. I'm doing this for my edit.
Okay,
because I have to have a clean spot to. All right, we're past the top secret stuff, Eric. Sorry.
I say, like going into a taxidermy shop, say someone shoots a 230-inch deer, someone might not know about this service and be like, hey, this is a world record deer. Mm-hmm. Here's something that these guys offer. They can come and scan and make a replica for you.
Absolutely. That's
Sam actually and Linda actually talked about putting it on the work order now. So say they kill it, they have classic rack scan, you know, if they want it.
That's great.
They pay for it straight up front, and then once he gets a collection, we come in and we do what we do, and
it's just
get it back to the customer.
It's an insurance policy. I mean, it is for sure. Even if they don't want a replica, they still have the scan right there that they can put in their gun safe or wherever they want.
And you would be surprised the number of taxidermists we've talked to that have had loss too. And so it's an insurance policy for them. If we go in,
scary would that be?
Yeah, if we go in and scan their top 10 biggest deer right there in their studio, they, even the taxidermists, you know, can sleep a little easier at night.
They're covered.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, because unfortunately, some taxidermist insurance companies have had to pay out on some stuff that has been, you know, stolen or fire or whatever. And the only recourse they have is
right
checks with zeros.
And yeah. They'll never get the amount that the hunter thinks it's worth or the taxidermist.
No way. Not. Yeah. How do you put a value on that?
Match back and forth between the insurance company and the
for sure
the customer.
What have you had any companies like Cabela's, Bass Pro hit you guys up to scan like their big giant whitetail collection? It's like the top of the top stuff like that. You know what I mean? You see these guys like travel around to the shows that have. I'm sure a lot of theirs are replicas, but they can still have that scanned. You know what I mean? Like, is a lot of guys with big collections of just massive deer hit you guys up yet, or maybe not? Maybe they don't know yet.
But. Yeah, Austin,
that's kind of I mean, we've done. I don't know. We probably done 20 plus rooms of 20 heads or so. You know, to go back to your question of, you know, we're an hour from Springfield where Bass Pro's headquarters is, and that's something we want to get to. We just want to make sure that the wheels are entirely on this
bus. You got all your ducks in a row.
Because it's one thing to, you know, have a guy call you and say, oh, my house burned, I lost 20 animals, we'll get to work on it. And it's another thing to have Bass Pro call and say, we lost our warehouse where we store everything. Here's an order for 35,000 antlers. When can you have them done?
Yeah. Right. You know, right.
So, gonna be a minute.
Right. Yeah.
But still, it's like, you know, I think I always forget this kid's name, man. The kid who had his buck stolen from Iowa, the big giant archery buck.
Was that the Levenstein buck? Was that it?
Nope.
I'll be a buck.
We've
done this.
Buck.
I don't know how many times on the podcast.
A million times.
The kid shot a giant archery buck and it got stolen while they were gone.
It was like the world. It was the Iowa record for several weeks, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Oh man,
I'll double check. Let me look.
I did not realize when we started coming to the shows, like come to Iowa or and then went to Illinois, but the amount of theft that goes on when somebody advertises, and we've done several rooms that nobody knows about. Mm-hmm. I mean, they don't tell anybody. They kill big bucks and they just.
A lot of guys like to fly under the radar.
Yep.
Yeah.
You don't have to anymore these days. You know? Yeah.
Well, it was scary. Yeah. I mean, I always wanted a way to like log all of my deer, but I didn't want to pay to have a replica done on each one of them. You know, that gets expensive. Oh, you got a couple grand per animal and you got 25 animals. Like I working class guy doesn't want to do that.
Right. And then where are you going to put them? You can't have them in your house.
Yeah.
You know? It's this buck, the Brian Andrews buck.
Yep. That's okay.
That got stolen.
Wow.
Iowa State non-typical record.
And they never found it, right?
I don't believe so.
253.
Oh, my goodness.
It's been beat a few times since, but...
Right.
When was that one killed?
2000s. 2004. Wait, hold on. Andrews was only 16 when he used a borrowed compound bow to take the 26-point whitetail, the second largest taken with the bow in the entire country for 2003. It was less than a year later on June 18th, 2004, when the spectacular trophy was taken. There's been no substantial leads in the case and no arrests have been made.
That's pretty cool about Bass Pro Shops there.
Oh, fucking ads. Fuck you, Outdoor Life. Sorry. Bass Pro Shops has stepped forward to offer $5,000 in products for information leading to recovery of the deer mount.
And the family themselves are offering $5,000 too.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That'd be sickening.
That would be
sickening. That's the thing, though. Like, if you steal it, what the fuck are you going to do with it?
Right, right.
You know what I mean? Like, you can't show it off.
Especially this day and age, it's all over.
Yeah, back in 2003, you might have been able to, like, side hustle it to somebody real fast, but not today.
Yeah. My thought is just some shithead that knew him and was jealous, stole it, and just got rid of it.
Yeah,
it
took a hammer to it.
Yeah, wow.
Give it to his dog to chew on.
God, man, what a bummer. I'd like to I want to interview that kid. Well, he's now. He's young then.
He's a guy now.
Well, he's older than us.
He's not 16 anymore.
Keep saying kid like he's 16 still. He didn't age.
I wonder if he ever was able to get a replica off of it, even though. So
I know there's some you guys know you can take pictures of animals and get replicas.
And it's expensive, and we can also do it. And it is more expensive than the scan. Obviously,
yeah,
you know,
more hands on, right?
But just we can do it. We've actually we're working with a lady we met at a show that had a fire.
She's from Pennsylvania.
So how'd this go down?
Her husband passed away. Not sure if it's an accident. Don't know.
Right.
We met her at Oklahoma City Taxidermy, the World Show. And she had the buck in the freezer with a couple other things. Had a fire. Burn it completely up. So we are going to do one for her, you know, at cost. Just to replace her husband's animal. And
just based so they off have the pictures.
So.
So can you do like a scan through the picture, or is that top secret?
No, I mean, we're just
digital artists
doing the same thing.
It's a pain in the butt.
Yeah, anybody that does them off of pictures, they're just sculpting it and going off of, you know,
trying to get as close.
If somebody's holding it in they're scaling it. You know, you're just getting as close.
Wow, everything. The amount of like mental capacity and like attention to detail that would have to take.
That's a no for me, dog.
Take a true artist for sure.
But hey,
a lot cheaper just scan them. In beforehand.
Yeah, no, it's great.
Then it's exact, too.
So you go to Old Barn Taxidermy. You hear us talk about it on the podcast. You're like, well, working class likes Old Barn. I'm going to give it a shot. Oh, cool. Classic rack option to scan. Yeah, might as well while we're here and it's not mounted yet.
That's cheap insurance right there.
Cheap insurance. Then you would have that digital copy forever. And then if you ever want it printed, you can have it printed.
Yep.
What is a rough estimate? Like, say this buck right here, like just to get it scanned.
So
if they're at the taxidermist,
is going off our price sheet, you know, and this doesn't include travel cost, which is higher than normal at the moment because of fuel prices.
Thanks, Biden.
But if we're already there, if we're at a show and you're talking to us in person, there is none of that. It's just straight up the price, you know. But you know, for 130 inch and under, $75, and then fast forward, you know, 200 inch deer is about $180. So
cheap insurance.
Oh man,
so cheap.
Yeah, one time.
Yeah.
And we want a pricing for everybody. And so, and plus the cleanup on the backside, it just.
I mean, it doesn't matter if a guy killed a world record stag or if your son just shot his first deer.
Right.
You know, a trophy's a trophy to.
Absolutely.
Say
you got to take it to the next step and you have your digital information, you do the scan, you have a fire. What's it cost to replica that 130 inch whitetail?
You're around $10 an inch.
There you go.
So. And at that point, so that's another great thing we bring to the table, that there's no arguing with the insurance company at that point. You've got hard facts on what it's worth. So before you take something that's priceless,
right.
And now we put a dollar value on it. So,
so that's going to help you
if
you have a fire.
No
fucking shit.
Yep. So you know it takes $10 an inch to make the replica. You know that you're going to buy a cape from a guy for, you know, $100, and then your taxidermist charge $700 or whatever.
So when the insurance company wants to stick you for 25 animals, you can say, okay, here's what it costs.
We send you an invoice.
Yeah, here's the proof.
And I have shelter insurance is who I have on my homeowners. And I even called them before we got out and started telling people like, hey, this is what we can do. This is what they're going to do. And they said, absolutely. When you have your deer heads, it falls under your contents. Now, whether you want to put a rider on those deer heads just to cover your deer heads, that's an option as well.
Mm-hmm.
But they do fall under your contents. And then we can write a...
Right, but from talking to people that's been through this, you know, they're typically going to try and give you $500 or something.
Yeah.
If that.
Really?
For, I'm talking 200-inch deer, yeah.
But they ain't going to cover shit.
No.
No, that'll buy your taxidermy. That's the taxidermy cost.
And then there are
tissues.
There are other...
insurance
policies out there that will, you know, you pick the dollar amount. Say, oh, that's a $20,000 animal. And they'll give you 20. You're going to have to pay the premium on whatever amount you pick,
right,
you know,
right.
Which is expensive. And then if it's up to you what you do with that $20,000, you can go on another hunt or you can just pocket it or whatever. But you're not going to replace that animal with that
ever.
With that
and that's,
type of deal.
That's another thing, like with our scan. Yes, you can pay for another hunt. And say you go over after you kill a 60-inch kudu, you may not kill that 60-inch kudu when you go back over there.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Or you kill a 400-inch public ground bull. You know, we know a guy that's eaten, what, 6 tags since he killed that bull because he won't shoot anything smaller. And a 400-inch public ground bull is not...
That dude will probably eat tags forever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Imagine what you would pay to have that scan done ahead of time.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
That's why I was proactive. Like, well, I can see the value in it.
Roughly $200.
I suddenly have anxiety.
Yeah.
We're sorry.
Now I know why you started your, I feel your anxiety.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's,
I feel like we have a studio scan in our near future.
Yeah, how many you guys on like a podcast program, so you just come back and scan all our shit?
Absolutely.
Like, all right. We'd love to. Plastic Racks is back for their quarterly podcast. What's new, guys?
Well, that's the thing. We got to keep you guys in the loop. So about every 2 years, we're going to have more work coming in for
no,
you.
Absolutely.
We'll
no,
keep you busy.
Absolutely. And that's I said before the show started.
We need
started
to set up a listener code with you guys.
There you go.
Should have thought ahead on that. But.
I said before the show started, we're going to make you a replica of your logo with the microphone on the on the eye guard and everything.
It looked like a shed.
That's pretty incredible. That awesome. You can even do that.
Yeah. Yeah. The sky's the limit. We've had several companies that have antlers as their logo. Can you make us our logo?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, we can do it.
Pretty cool. So saying that, you just said shed. So you guys can ski
sheds.
We do shed.
Yeah, we just
sheds.
Got done with an amazing shed, really. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
An inverted pedicle.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Dude, the
possibilities are endless.
If this doesn't go nuts after this podcast airs for you guys, I will be very surprised. Like, I'm thinking of so many people as you guys are talking that I'm like, they need to get that scanned. They need to, like,
well, how many hunters have their neighbor shoot the deer that they were after for 4 years? Like, they would want to be able to have that replica. This is an economical way to do that. Like, you borrow the head for a half hour, get it scanned, get your replica made, and then
even the buck I have out there, I've had him since 2015. Like, get the replica and even make some sheds out of it. You know.
Well, here's what I'm thinking. It's like our trade shows. We like to, like, we took the Gar buck replica around. It's like we could get Leah's buck, we get Ross's big buck, we get your big buck, get Eric's big buck, one of my big bucks, all replicated for our booth. Mm-hmm. And it's like we can feel comfortable taking those replicas on the road,
yep.
Mm-hmm. And not the originals. And it's like that's an amazing option. Have the scan and then double down and get the replica done. So our display for what we do is better. I mean, I'm thinking Mark Drury, a bunch of his giants. Of course, he'd want to get them at least scanned.
Right.
You know, it's like the dude's killed so many booners in the last 5 years. It's like. Yeah. You know,
if you have one fire, they're all gone.
Yeah,
absolutely. And we've had some guys that, you know, they would get multiple sheds off the same deer and then kill it later and actually mount it, you know, but they want to have all the progression of the years that sheds.
The replica's made of them.
Yeah, we can.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We can scan the shed so he can still have the real sheds and hold them and feel them and all that. But we'll do the replicas and he'll mount them and he'll have the whole.
Have the display.
Yeah.
So you can do like two sheds. Say if you got both of them and then add a skull plate into it. So
absolutely.
Oh, yep. That's badass.
Yep.
And then he can take it, say he killed it in 2020 and he's got sheds from 17, 18, and 19. He can replicate the 17, 18, and 19 all stair-stepping
up. No shit.
But the original sheds below it to show with the replicas.
You know what replica we need done up? The Hopper Dropper.
That would be cool.
We need that.
I'd like
studio.
To see him mounted when he was his biggest. When the year before I shot him, that'd be cool to see him all mounted up.
Let's do that. Get that replica up and have it in the studio. That buck needs to be here.
That'd be cool.
Because he's so unique, you know.
Yeah, we've awesome got him buck. Scanned in already.
We've seen
it. Yeah, you guys already have the information.
You got the file.
Leg up on it.
Hey, you might have to sit down and drink a beer and negotiate here.
All right.
What do we got to do to get this done?
I'm going to step back a little bit. We will go to Mexico. I was just kidding. If somebody's got a lodge down there and they want us to go, we have passports. We will go.
What if someone had you can go off a trail cam picture, can't you? If it's nice. Enough?
It's, yes.
What kind of participation trophy are you trying to print out here, Doug?
I got a buck in mind.
But. Yeah. No, if you got a photo of any kind, I mean, it's just what you're happy with. Because anytime you do one off a photo.
How deep a pocket you get? That's the question.
Well, I mean.
I make my uncle pay for it.
The better the photo, the better the outcome, obviously. Right.
But it's hard to get the photo, like we said, it's hard to get perfect.
Yeah.
Exact match.
Of course, yeah.
It's but crazy when you sit here in studio, you've got these. You've got a replica and you've got the original. It's sitting here, and I mean, you look at like the coloration and every little burr, like everything is spot on. It'd be really tough to tell from a distance which one was the original and which one's the replica.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely,
it's pretty wild.
We were actually going to start covering up like the skull plates, just so when we put the replicas and original out, because a lot of people can't even tell which one's which with the unless you go to a taxidermy show, and then obviously they see it, but.
For sure. Shout out to the people painting these things, too. Good grief.
It's incredible.
I do most of them.
You're painting these motherfuckers, too? God damn.
not sustainable. Check but that's we have others doing it also, but the majority of them I do just because.
So this is right here. This is a replica.
This one,
yes. I can only tell because of like the skull plate, and yeah, that's not right. That looks unrealistic, but there's like a different. Well,
machine.
There's a raw finish to a clean finish.
Yep.
What's this one on the end over here? This like more.
So
raw
if you'll go to our website here,
yep.
Scroll up him. This is him right here. It's obviously we're not just going to take a shoulder mount around with us everywhere, but that's a
big old bot fly hole.
That's one of my deer, and this is the one we.
It's crazy.
It's kind of cool the whole you guys showed kind of the process there, and it shows up on the screen exactly like the buck is.
Yep.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. They sent me a, well, I don't remember if it was a Snapchat or video chat, whatever it was, but while they were up in my trophy room, they picked out my 10-pointer, and they sent me the scan of it, and, like, I was looking at the scan while they were doing it. I'm like, holy shit, like, that's my buck. Like, you can, everything's on exactly the same.
It's when
crazy.
The screen starts, it's blue, and then once we start scanning it, it fills in, and it just makes a deer on your screen.
And it's colored and everything. That's
we could do it in
bizarre.
Color. Yeah. Usually we don't do them in color unless we're doing a replica 100%.
Right.
Just because it's a lot more, takes more.
So here's another thing we did.
Yeah.
Speaking of scanning the whole deer, well, the shoulder mount anyway, we scanned two guys' personal deer he killed, and he had an archery shop or something. But he wanted to have his deer in the fighting position as his logo. So we digitally scanned in both as his deer and then digitally
locked
them up.
Oh, wow.
And, that's now his logo. So
that's cool.
Yeah, what?
That's wild.
That's what I'm saying, man. You can do so much with this platform you guys have created. You guys got to be the first of your kind in this industry, right? Or is there?
We've heard of others.
Yeah, but
not heard a lot
though,
of.
Right?
Well, I mean,
I'm kidding.
I'm not going to badmouth anybody's work.
I'm kidding.
But
I'm kidding.
We have
before they get mad.
We've
that's a
had
joke.
To defend ourselves on a few things where. You know, there was replicas come back and the customers just weren't happy.
Right.
And it's going to happen at some point when you're in the service industry. And,
yeah.
I mean, somebody's
you'll
gonna,
never make everybody happy.
No.
But, right. But so far, we haven't had that issue. And I do know the equipment we're using is heads and tails above theirs. I mean, it's not even in the same ballpark.
Well, it's kind of like when you hear about people getting their cats and dogs mounted after they pass away.
Mm-hmm.
Man, you better be a damn good taxidermist because if something's off a little.
They're going to know it.
They're going to know.
You going to skin my dog?
We met a girl at the Oklahoma City World Show that does it. Pet taxidermy. And it's, I don't know.
Fuck all that, man.
And a lady in Nebraska, she did a horse. Was it last
Holy
year?
Holy smokes.
A horse?
Yeah.
I could see that. I mean,
full size.
Full size horse.
You go in Bass Pro and there's horses with Indians on them. And, you know,
true.
I hear at the Arsenal, they have like Roosevelt's horse there.
Yeah.
In the museum.
What? Yeah. Mounted?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Who was like, yep, we better taxidermy this horse now that it dies.
Yeah, who the hell knows, but it's right somewhere. Here in Rock Island, Illinois.
I could probably do that easier than I could a basset hound or something, you know. So.
Yeah. A horse,
I could do my dog. I got to draw a line somewhere.
I told that horror story about my I don't remember what podcast I told it on. Taxidermist, a long story, really short. Guys, like, I never do pet taxidermy anymore. This couple came in grieving. Hey, we do taxidermy. Really, really want it done. He's trying to talk him out of it. Nope. They insisted. He said, okay. They pull away. First thing he starts to do is skin it out. They turn around, change their mind, walk in, see him skinning their dog.
Mercy.
What's mercy?
Could you imagine?
Imagine if they had a little kid with them.
Oh, boy.
No.
Sparky.
not for me. How weird, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean... Reach out to if you have a mounted pet of yours.
Yeah, reach out to us. We never asked
pictures.
That.
I'd love to know.
I don't know anyone that has a taxidermy pet.
Yeah, I can't think of any on my.
I don't either.
It's like I see like some of those people that are into being like furries, wearing those like mascot suits around,
like an actual animal.
Wear some animal skin.
Furries like a bunch of. I'm not trying to judge anybody's fetish or nothing, but just some weird people out there. You know, if you want to get your dog mounted,
get your dog mounted. I guess
get that thing mounted, man.
We got kids 100%. Pooping in litter boxes today.
Yeah, at high schools. So that's what this world has come to.
Yep.
Yeah, it must be interesting though to go to I don't know, like Austin's trophy room.
You guys get to see a lot of cool shit.
Oh my gosh, yes, it's amazing.
And like you said, like the people who don't want to be seen or anything, you probably just walk in their trailer and like, holy shit.
Yeah,
is that the best part of the job?
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And you get to BS with them and
yeah.
You know, everybody got their stories, hunt stories, and you get to hear them. And it's it's a
man, that's cool.
It's a neat.
Austin
dog.
Has a good one.
He does for sure. You want to know one of the main things I wanted to know though was how the hell did you get that gun safe up there?
We actually built the house around.
Did you?
I figured. I was like, "There's no way."
They craned it up there and then built the house.
We built the floor, and me and my brother and my cousin put it in the skid in the end loader that we had.
Yeah.
Lifted it up there and rolled it on, and then we tarped it, and it sat outside for about 6 months before the roof and everything got built around it.
I figured it was something like that.
Yeah.
But, I never heard that story.
Yeah, that safe that's in my man cave. Imagine toting that thing up those stairs
and make the turn. There's no way.
Made it.
There's no way. You'd no have way. To.
It was a bitch just scooting it from one side to the other across the flat floor.
Damn. Yeah, I mean, I bet you guys see some really cool stuff. So what's your least favorite part of the gig?
Just the travel and the time away from home.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm actually leaving Friday to take my family to Yellowstone. So we just got to make time and do it. But I'm sure I'm going to stop and hit some taxidermy shops on the way to and from. And,
well, you might as well, right?
You know, you're out that way. So
I actually can't complain too much because my wife works from home. She works remote. So she actually goes with me and helps me on some of the.
Oh, that's even cool. Yeah, cool.
And the little boy sits in, or let's say little, he's 12 now, but he'll sit in the car and play his.
Hang out.
On his phone and we'll get it done.
I picture you guys being a business that's always hiring. Like, or if you're not yet, you're going to be.
Yeah.
Just because it's like capacity. It's like. You're going to need more people.
Yeah, you can't be everywhere at once.
Yeah.
The problem we're running into now is me and even Shannon, for that matter, trying to learn everything we need to know as far as the software and everything else, because as the owner, you've got to know everybody's job and know it
right
like the back of your hand. And
be able to relay that to them and teach them
right.
to make it right. Because if you don't scan it good enough, you've got a problem.
Yeah.
And say you drive 15 hours to do 20 heads and they come back and they're all shit.
Yeah.
You can't.
Right.
It's so.
Yeah. You got to know what you're doing. And we use a dozen different pieces of software that are high end and hard to learn.
And everything's changing and updating every year.
Yeah.
Every day.
Yep. Yeah. And the stuff. And then you think you get something figured out, and then somebody wants you to make a fighting buck logo out of their two antlers. And you go, you know, two deer.
How the hell am I going to do that?
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know, but we'll figure it out.
You got to enjoy that challenge, though, man. That's cool.
I do, but it's hard at this point in time. It's hard to price it, and it's hard to, you know, a lot of times I've just been doing it. Say, let me see if I can do it
right
before I even tell you. And then, but next thing I know, I've got 40 hours in it, and I haven't told them I could do it. And you know,
you guys are growing fast and trying to tackle new projects all at the same time. I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
You guys are looking for nerds. You guys need nerds on your staff.
But they need to have some, you know, experience with hunting and stuff. They need to know deer anatomy, and they need to know
cool nerds.
Yeah, cool nerds. Basically,
we got Doug's.
Doug's just cheesing.
Yeah.
You can leave.
Doug's like, hey, how's the 401k? You know,
exactly. How's your bennies?
I'd say strong.
Not good yet.
Lots of Bush Light.
Yeah.
A fabulous amount.
You get a 30 pack a week.
We might throw you in a Natter Day as well.
Oh,
damn! One bonus Natter Day a week.
Snap.
Doug, this might be the gig for you.
Maybe you can still engineer and be involved in the hunting community.
Mm-hmm. True.
And you could get us the employee discount.
That's right.
Well, I don't know about that.
Friends and family. Yeah,
talk to my
boss.
Right.
Doug might be your guy.
Yeah.
You think you could quit a government job?
I don't know.
Oh, government.
Hey, I did.
Everybody's got their price.
Hey. Yeah. Yeah.
We'll talk later.
You guys had several episodes here lately on, you know, kind of quitting your job. And, you know, there was a one you had with Bo, and then I think Clint's power washing.
Yeah.
And that kind of resonated with me because I had a successful job in construction prior to this, and I just walked away and said, I'm going to figure this out. So
talk about, elaborate on that a little bit, because like what everybody, like, did you do the same? Did you
have I was in logistics.
Okay.
And pretty successful at that, and just it kind of got to, that realm will make you a very jaded person.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I heard a lot of you guys talk, and you just get burnt out, and when you're dreading to go to work the next day, it's not a good lifestyle, and you tend to bring it home with you, and then it's just not healthy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And like now, I don't even know what day it is half the time. So it makes
Because you're not thinking about what day it is, just to count it down.
We just go do what we do, and we love to do it.
What was the craziest thing like about leaving like a good gig, like whether it was people, what are you going to fuck? You know, there's always that like social judgment or.
We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Oh, right. Yeah. Have fun paying for insurance is what I got a lot.
You know, yeah, actually, you know.
Insurance was the biggest thing for me.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's expensive as fuck.
But we figured it out, so.
Yep.
This month will be a year since I've gotten a paycheck. So, you know, I was fortunate enough that I've got some rentals. And that's kept me going, you know, because we're investing everything back into the company. We're not taking a penny. Everything's going back in to grow and expand and get better. But, you know, yeah, there was the naysayers. And you know, for a lot, I just mainly tell people that, you know, just general Joe Blows I see on the street that I've got a 3D scanning and printing company. I don't tell them exactly what it is we do because they're like, what?
Well, that's like the
weird. They understand it.
Yeah, that too. It's like, how do you avoid having to elaborate every time that conversation of what do you do comes up?
Right. I mainly just say I got a 3D printing and scanning company. If I'm talking, you know, to you know, just somebody I'm running into at a ball game that I know doesn't hunt, I try not to go down the rabbit hole. I just kind of tell – because we do other stuff, you know. I would probably have more luck telling them that we scan statues and grandma's jewelry – Then I
scan tits.
Yeah. <That's up. laughs> So, you know, I try and put it in their side because we are starting a sister company that does, you know,
tits.
Well I won't say that. We, you know, we'll see where it goes. But
call me
gonna be an intern. Right, yeah. Tits eventually. Yeah. Nice.
I'm on the way.
Investors, possibly you.
Yes. Doug's in. Doug quits his government job. It pays a third of what Doug's current salary.
I don't care.
He's texting right now.
You had me at tuh.
Hey, boss man, I'm putting in my 2 weeks. What's up?
So, but no, we're gonna look at diversifying from just the antlers and horns and do some general stuff too for the there's, I mean, we haven't even scratched the surface on I think what can be done.
Yeah.
So we'll see where that goes too. But
I mean, we've used a lot of work. I work for a race car company, and you know, just scanning parts that the engineers can't get the right radius on, or you know, they just can't get it exactly right, so they'll bring the 3D. It's an outside company. They'll bring it in there and they'll scan the car, and it's perfect every time.
That's the company we went through to procure all of our stuff. That they do a lot of that and a ton of cars, honestly. So
just crazy. Make aftermarket parts for them.
Yep. Such a I don't know how new of an. It seems like a really new industry and a very large industry for the scale of things that you can do with it.
Right.
Yeah, and you know for the most part. 3D printing is very expensive from the fact of there's several large companies that do it, you know, on a public scale, like publicly traded companies, and they're expensive. I mean, ridiculous.
I couldn't name one. I've also never looked into it.
Right. So what we found there is, you know, they're used to printing one-off prototypes for Fortune 500 companies.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't care what the one-off cost
if you're, they don't give a shit.
If you're GM or whatever, and you need this part one time so that you can start making, you know, more of them, mass producing them, you don't care what the one-time cost is.
No.
Right.
You know, we do. It's everything.
You have to care. Yeah.
We've had to work around not, you know, finding other ways to get the cost down.
Mm-hmm.
And, we've been successful at that. Otherwise, it wouldn't even be feasible.
Right. You wouldn't be here where you're at today.
Right. It wouldn't.
And we're working every day to get, you know, better pricing.
Yeah.
You know, better.
Right.
Whatever we can do to make it feasible for everybody.
What's the biggest? Sorry, Erica.
No, go ahead.
What's the biggest? I don't even really like saying it this way because the person probably doesn't. What's the biggest name? I guess that you've scanned stuff for to this point, any guys from outdoor shows or companies, and maybe you can't say, but
Austin, I,
the Lord.
Yeah.
The Lord.
We've met some people that have shows, you know, we talked with Keith Warren.
Oh, cool.
And we met another guy from at the Illinois show, Chris Brackett.
Oh yeah. Huge.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. He's huge. Yeah. Everybody loves him actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a cool dude. I spent about an hour on the phone with him.
Yeah, I'm being sarcastic. So.
Yeah.
But hey, I'm sure he's got a lot to scan.
Right.
Hey,
right.
I got high hopes for Chris Brackett, man.
Right. You know, like I said, we're still young. We're
Tom Miranda hits you up. You know, you got your work. Oh, boy. Have you seen his trophy room?
That's the one you need to get in on.
Oh, yeah.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, that would be a couple weeks. Yeah.
Did Chris have you guys scan the one he poached so he could have it?
We haven't done any work for him yet. We've just visited with him a lot. And
he don't have that one no more.
I imagine not.
I think that replica got chopped up by a chainsaw on a Facebook Live.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody wasn't happy, I guess.
Yeah. But, I mean, you ever seen Tom Miranda's trophy room? You see that stuff, it's like, you wonder if, like, he's ever thought about, I'm sure he has.
Anybody that has a trophy room has thought about it. Like, what if I had a fire or a tornado or somebody came in and stole all this shit? Like, you look around and you see how much money and time you've got invested in that. I mean, how are you going to protect that?
Right.
And this is a true, affordable, working class way you can protect that.
Yeah, especially when you have mass quantities.
And you know, you think so. There are people that turn their nose up at it because, oh, if this burns, I'm not going to. Look at all these whitetails I've got, and at $10 an inch, I can't afford that. Well, you're not paying for it at that point. Your insurance is.
Right. Yeah.
You know, you got to think of it
and you're
that
not
way.
Out any money, and you choose which ones you want to replace or you don't.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah, you can erase all those ground shrinkage mistakes in a hurry.
I need to increase this one by about 30.
You guys charge for an inch.
Can you guys don't add inches to the scan? Oh,
there's an upscale button if you wanted to hit it.
Whoops.
We
whoops.
Go brow there. Yeah.
Have you guys done like a, like, let's say there's a broken G2 and they want to replicate that on the other side?
Oh, absolutely. I didn't bring it with me. I should have. Dang it. We've got a... we've got a bull. He's probably about 310, 315. And the top of one whole side's broke off. So we were able to scan the other side, mirror it, and bring it over.
Wow. That's cool.
That's awesome.
The way
we're doing another one for a guy right now. We're getting the pricing on it. But it's probably a 340, 360 in that range. And shot it.
Hard to tell with one whole side missing.
Yeah, it's got a great one side, and the other side has the two brows with I'd say the main beam got broken velvet and it grew down. So he's leaving the drop tine, which is probably, I don't know, 12, 16
inches. Big,
And we're mirroring the other side to match it up, make it a perfect.
That's cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that I can see, like, there's some value in that, like broken tines or whatever, right. Something happens. Or
if it's like a one tine that you've already got set up, it's not feasible for us to come and scan the deer and add you a 12-inch tine. Because if we just sent you one that we already had,
to put on the real antler.
To put on the real
antler. Right.
Yeah.
But if you wanted to, if you shot one, say, we met a guy in Houston, and a lot of those guys have high fence down there, and he had about a 250-incher that was broke off. And if he would have known, met us in November, December, he would have killed that deer because he could have just mirrored it over and matched it up. Because I guess it was on its
downside or
downside
something. No kidding. Shot. See, it's like we could keep going and talk about something new, I think, that you can do with this. It's just
hey, let's just say they can pretty much do anything.
Well, everybody that's listening to this has got that one deer that says, man, I'd love to see that whitetail that I killed have those two tines back on him. Or, you know, everybody listening has that one buck that they'd be like, I'd use that service for sure.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we did a replica for a guy where he's painting it now, and we added tines to one. And they called him Flamethrower, and he had like three, looked like a little torch on. And we added
They broke off,
and we added the tines back to it and made it look like the original picture. And
that's cool.
That is awesome.
That is cool.
Man, cool stuff. I don't know how it gets any better than what you guys are doing. It's pretty awesome. You guys are better than insurance.
Yeah.
You guys are the insurance company.
Right. We actually get you your animal back and not just, you know, a piece of paper,
some bullshit,
bunch of arguing,
a dollar amount on it,
right. So
that's pretty dang cool. Insurance companies probably hate you a little bit.
We haven't had to deal with them much, you know.
Good, it's a good problem.
I don't know if they would. I think once they get on board with we got a dollar amount, they'll start.
It's a lot less hassle.
They'll
fight back and forth.
Yeah, because they don't want to do that.
Right,
the starting point.
Yeah. So
very cool. Well, anything we missed? Anything we need to get out?
Where can people find you?
Find us on Facebook and Instagram, and you know, like us there, follow us, and we've got a website, and just call. That's the shoot us an email.
What's the website? ClassicRackCo.com?
Yes.
Awesome.
I'll have this all linked in.
Classic Racks Company, all spelled out.
Yeah, I'll have this all linked in on the episode description too. So if you're listening and you're lazy, just go, like if you listen on Spotify, it's clickable in there.
Yeah.
Just click on it, it'll take you right to it. Yeah. I love what you guys are doing.
That's awesome.
I think you guys are doing a service. probably a deeper, more heartfelt service than maybe what you realize, but maybe you do realize it. But it's cool either way. You guys are killing it. It's awesome to see. And we wish the best for you guys.
Appreciate it. Thanks again for having us.
Yep. Thanks for having us on.
You guys are welcome back anytime. And if you go to Old Barn Taxidermy, there's an option right there. You win twice, brother. You listen to us. You go to Old Barn.
It's a win-win.
Classic Racks. Boom. Win-win. Everybody's involved. Anybody else? Austin? Eric?
Hey, no. I trust him in my house. You can too.
Right. When you weren't there.
Thanks for coming up, boys.
Yep. Thank you.
Thanks for coming.
Dub, we're going to get that mustache scanned or what?
Let's get
We're
going to
get the head scan.
Let's get it scanned.
The head scan.
Scan me.
We'll just do a studio scan someday and just have that built into the press.
I want a shoulder mount of Doug on the wall.
That's what I'm saying.
Where are we going to get a...
Just creepy as fuck.
Where are we going to get a cape at?
We can bronze him, too. We can...
Oh, yeah.
Bronze him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Nah, let's go gold.
Gold. Yeah. I want the white stone, like, marbled look.
Oh,
that's right. What I want. Like,
I want
like
bleeding Caesar. Statue is what I want.
The Greek Doug.
The yeah. Greek Caesar.
The Greek God. Yeah.
I want a Greek Doug statue with a bloody nose.
All right.
So stupid.
A bloody stash.
All right, guys. You know what to do. Thanks for being here. Go shoot your bow. We love you.